Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. Welcome to another episode of Dancin' Moon Songcast. It looks like this week we're going to be talking about a pretty ambitious song, I would say. It comes from 2010's Letting the Sunlight Back In LP. And the name of the song is Tide. Strongly influenced, and we'll talk about this more in a little bit, but strongly influenced by what I've mentioned before, my strong interest in progressive rock back in the day. Still have that interest, but I think it was aspiring on this one towards something moving in that direction. So this is Tide from 2010's Letting the Sunlight Back In, and we'll listen to it and then talk about it on the other side.
Thank you. untouched streams. The ocean undoes the mountains, pulling at the seams. Yeah, I'm pulling at the seams. It's a familiar pulsing, the constant that I crave. Two years to fall and rise and overflow the grave, overflow the grave.
Well, so that was Tide. I have to say, as much as I am a huge, huge fan of simple songs, acoustic, folk songs, bluegrass, straight up, just get down to the dirt kind of songs, I really am compelled once in a while to just really rock out. And this one, I really feel like has some complexity. And I don't know if I accomplished everything that I had intended to back in 2010 when this one came out, but definitely is a pleasure listening to it again. Give a little context. The album "Letting the Sunlight Back In" from 2010. We had managed to move back to Spearfish. We had been gone for a while. We'd been through a number of difficult, challenging work related and church related and family related and everything else related, friend related sorts of challenging times. But we're back and seem to be moving into, settling into being in the place where we wanted to live. And I think there was a lot of depression that I had grappled with, a lot of anxiety and frustration, and letting the sunlight back in was a the song which is it, we're not talking about this time, but the album itself was I think my attempt to kind of open back up. I think, you know, when difficult things happen, you close yourself off, you shut down, you go into self-protection mode. And I think this album was an attempt to begin opening back up. It's not a sunny disposition album. Letting the sunlight back in sounds like it would be just, you know, all butterflies and rainbows, but it certainly wasn't, and Tide is not you know, necessarily sunny, but it is opening up to vulnerability again. It's let's be honest, let's open up, let's let the world see in and begin looking out as well, and that's what letting the sunlight back in. The title of the album really refers to. The album itself involves a lot of, leans more in the rock direction. So that was what I needed at the time. And like I said earlier, before listening to the song, Tide leans, I think I was leaning heavily into the progressive rock genre as much as I could with limited technology and limited capacity in my studio at the time. I was taking it as far as I could. So we'll talk a little bit about Tide. Take a look at the lyrics. I will say this, and because this is different than most of my songwriting, this This song did begin as a poem. The poem was written probably in 2008 or 2009. I'm not sure exactly when. And I was grappling with some complex ideas and ideas about life, about what life is, about, you know, what it means to make progress, what progress is, because sometimes progress doesn't feel like progress. It maybe looks like progress later when you look back at it, but it doesn't feel like it in the midst of it. And the paradoxes that are embedded in life, and the poem was about that. And the poem worked okay. But it felt like it was calling to me personally to be a prog rock song. So anyway, that's what it became, and that's what we're talking about today. So Tide, of course, just the title lets us know that, you know, the tide is something that is cyclical. It comes and it goes. And it comes and it goes. So therefore, it's always shifting. It's always either coming or it's going. It's never doing the same thing, but it's always doing the same thing. You know, that paradox. That is the paradox of progress. We're always either making progress or we're falling behind. But that's what we're always doing. And the question is, in the long view, in the long term, in the long run, where is this taking us to? When we look at the back and forth, you know, that dance, that two steps forward, one step back, or is it one step forward, two steps back? And what does that look like long term? And am I even able to see it in my moment that I'm in now? And does it matter? Because maybe right now what matters is this moment, where the tide is at right at the moment. Maybe getting too obsessive about the long-term implications of the moment isn't helpful in the moment. So anyway, I know there's a lot of weirdness and complexity there, but that's what this song, I think, was trying to deal with. So let's take a look at the first little section. And I'll just say this. I don't know that there's a chorus proper in this. I think it's all verse, but at the same time, there is a refrain. There's a piece that repeats, and so maybe that's kind of the chorus. The valve that opens closes. The breath that comes recedes. This give and take will lift me into uncharted seas. Okay, I'll pause there in this first section. So we're touching on the tide. We're touching on a ship leaving harbor and heading out. And of course that goes along with the tide. When the tide lifts the boat enough to head out into uncharted seas, it goes. But as I said earlier about the tide, it's an opening and a closing, like the valve of the heart. It opens, but it has to close. And that for the heart to work, the valves have to do both. They can't just open and open and open and open. They have to open and close. And for the breath and for the lungs to work, they can't just take in breath and take in breath and take. They have to take in and let out and take in and let out. So there's this rhythm. There's this tide rhythm. There's this rhythm of living, of being alive, of taking in and of letting go. And that is what lifts us and takes us forward into these uncharted seas that we might call life and experience. Next few lines. And stillness is not static. Its rhythm comes and goes. But the mandatory constant is the forward flow, the tide. Stillness is not static. You know, stillness seems like it's being still. It's not moving. It's not going anywhere. But when we look at it, that's not even possible. Let's go back to the ship. Let's say I'm the captain and I've laid down in my bunk in my little cabin on the boat, and I'm being as still as possible. And let's say the ocean is even super calm that day, so there's not a lot of tossing and turning and ups and downs in the waves. It's just a very calm day on a calm ocean, and I'm sitting still in my bed. At the same time, I am on this ship that is moving, that is going somewhere, pushed along by the wind, by the sails. And I'm in this ocean that is a part of this planet that's spinning and spinning and forever spinning and forever rotating around this sun in this solar system that is moving through a galaxy that itself is moving and flying through the universe. And so realizing that stillness is not static, that stillness may be my best friend for recognizing where I'm actually moving. How can I know where I'm going unless I take a moment to be still? And so, we move on. And where we've always forded, we've entered untouched streams. The ocean undoes the mountains, pulling at the seams. Yeah, pulling at the seams. We'll pause there. Where we've always forded. When you ford a river, you know, lots of towns have ford as the end of their name, because the town built up around a particular place where it's really good to cross the river at this spot, because, you know, it's particularly shallow or wide or you know, whatever. And so you've got a whole community that's built up in this place, this singular place that's really good for fording the river. But as the Buddhists would tell you, you will never ford a river in the same place, even if you're fording it in the same exact place every time, because the river is ever changing. It's always moving. It's always a different river. It's always the same river. Yes, of course, but it's always different, because that same water will never be there. It's passing through. You're going to touch a stream that no one has ever touched before. Not there, not in that way. And so all the things that are familiar to us, all the ways of being, all the ways of doing things, all the places for crossing that we always go to, they in certain fundamental ways will always be different, because it's a different time. It's a different me. And where does that movement come from? The ocean undoes the mountains, pulling at the seams. Yeah, pulling at the seams. I live in a canyon. My canyon partially, certainly, has been carved by water. There are other elements that have made the canyon that I live in. But I think about the Grand Canyon. I think about what the flood of water moving toward the oceans, what that does to the mountain. It pulls the mountain to pieces. It pulls the mountains apart, makes huge canyons, wears them down over time. In a sense, the ocean is pulling, ever pulling at all the water on this planet, ever pulling it to itself. And in that sense, it's pulling at the seams of the mountains. It's pulling the mountains to pieces. You know, this area that I live in is a gold rush area. And people would come out with pans and they'd pan in all the streams and try to find little nuggets of gold, little flecks of gold, little bits of pieces of gold. And why was that gold in the streams? Because that gold was buried in the mountains. And the ocean was pulling all the waters to itself. And in so doing, it was pulling those bits and pieces of gold out of the heart of the mountain to itself ultimately. So we live in places that are always being tugged at. The seams of who we are and what we are always being tugged at by some great ocean. The great ocean where everything is running to, time itself. It's the familiar pulsing, the constant that I crave. To live, to fall and rise and overflow the grave. Overflow the grave. The familiar pulsing, the constant that I crave. Pulsing, once again, we have that paradox. Pulsing is something that's back and forth, come and go, like a tide, like a heartbeat, like a breath. But it's constant because it's ever pulsing. And it's the thing, the ups, the downs, the ups, the downs. And at any given time, I may be coming or I may be going, I may be up or I may be down. But at any given time, recognizing that I'm in this pulse, this constant pulse of the ocean pulling the waters to itself, of life being pulled toward its end, that there is this forward movement and where I'm at in that. That's the constant that I crave, recognizing that even though it's up and it's down, it's moving, it's going somewhere. It's going somewhere. To live, to fall and rise and overflow the grave. Overflow the grave. Death is not the end. And there are lots of ways to look at that. There's the traditional Christian way of looking at that death has been defeated. And I am much more than just the physical life of this particular body, that it will end, but that's not the end of me. There is the other way of looking at it, that for all of life feeds on that which was alive and is now dead. That's what feeds life. Both in the physical sense and also in the intellectual sense, ideas. My ideas, my art, my creativity, the things that I leave behind as I die, feed all that is creative and all that is done in the future. Maybe not by me, maybe by others. So in that sense, we overflow the grave. The grave is not an end in any sense. The grave is one of those downs in that constant rhythm. And Nero burned his city, and Brando rolled his dice, and Peter walked on water once, but not twice. So we have allusions here to Nero fiddling while Rome burned, kind of the image of the leader, the careless leader, the leader who cares nothing about the destruction of his own city, only cares for himself. Brando rolled his dice. In college, I was in a production of Guys and Dolls, and I played Sky Masterson, the role that was played by Marlon Brando in the film, and of course Sky Masterson rolls his dice. He's a gambler, but he rolls his dice for love as well. It's the story of the gambler who falls in love with the pure, innocent young woman, and he rolls his dice. And he has this great decision to make. Is he going to give up his rough-edged gambling ways to settle down for love or not? And then Peter. If you recall, Jesus at one point was walking on the water during a storm, and the apostles were all in the boat, and Peter shouted out, Lord, he wanted to walk over to him, and Jesus said, come on. And so Peter gets out and he starts walking on the water. He's walking on the water like Jesus. He's performing a miracle, and then suddenly he realizes what he's doing, and he gets frightened. And the minute he gets frightened, he sinks, and he can do it no longer. And of course, Jesus reaches down and pulls him out. But it's this idea that he is miraculous like the Messiah until he suddenly says, oh, who am I to do this? What? I can't do this. This is crazy. And suddenly he sinks. The last section. We go back to a repeated section. And where we've always forded, we've entered untouched streams. The ocean undoes the mountains, pulling at the seams. Yeah, pulling at the seams. And this is where we go into some pretty heavy, and we get the electric guitar in there. And this section is musically my favorite section of the song. It's that familiar pulsing, the constant that I crave, to live, to fall and rise, and overflow the grave, overflow the grave. So I think all of these stories, Nero, Brando, Peter, all of them depict in one way or another the ups and downs, the rise, the fall, the confidence, the absolute despair and lack of confidence that we go through. And what is it that's pulling at the streams? What is that great, giant, metaphysical ocean pulling at the seams, pulling the mountains into oblivion, exposing the gold, pulling all the guts out of the hills, soaring down through stream, into river, into delta, into ocean, pulling at the seams, pulling at the seams, pulling at the seams. It's the story of what life is about. It's ups and it's downs. It's success and it's failure. But ultimately, I think there's a hopefulness here that ultimately it is moving in a good direction. It is moving toward not just oblivion, but toward something significant, something meaningful, something worthwhile. And that would be progress. But progress is fraught with those ups and downs, those in and out, inhale, exhale. Well, musically, we'll talk briefly about that. There's so much I'd like to say, but it's hard to talk about that. For one, this is a song that I recorded and worked on diligently 10 years ago, and so a lot of choices I made, a lot of details that are kind of lost to me. I don't keep great notes. I get into the process and let it take me where it wants to take me, like the tide. But I'll say this, you know, this when I in listening to it this time around, I notice there's a lot of background vocals that are oohs and ahs that are very breathy. There seems to be a chorus of breathing that comes and goes. That's really fitting given the theme and some of the lines in the song. The piano has a strong role to play in this, and the electric guitar with a good deal of effects. I was playing around a lot with the number of pedals. And then it cuts loose. It really does is, I think, I hope, a good example of dynamics within a song. It begins in a way that's very distant and very quiet, and just very barely perceptible. It builds slowly, and then certainly you find that climax near the middle of that last section of lyrics, where the electric guitar really, really cuts in. And the rhythms cut in, and the rhythms and the unending beat really kind of mirrors what's being said in the lyrics, in the song. And I hope that feels hopeful, it's a little bit like that heart rhythm on the monitor, that a good strong beat says, this person is alive. This person is taking in and letting out the blood and the breath that keeps them living and moving and growing and being. And I think that's the value of this sort of song, to say, hey, it's hard and it's come and go, it's up and down, but that's how you know you're alive. That's how you know you're still going. And if you're still going, then you're making progress. So there we go. That's Tide from Letting the Sunlight Back In from 2010. An album that is primarily rock, is about opening back up after you've been closed down for a little bit. Closed down, for me personally, was 1, 2, 3 punches that really knocked me, sent me spinning and questioning who I was and what I was doing. And this is where I said, hey, you know what? That's just the way it is. That's the way life is. You get knocked down, you get back up, and you keep going. And that's how you know you're alive. Thanks for joining me for this episode of Dancing Moon Songcast. We try to put one out every Friday, certainly one every week. And we're well in. I think this is episode 45, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. We try to put one out every week, and so you can find all of my songs, all my lyrics, everything at scottsimpsonmusic.com. You can stream on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, Apple Music, iTunes, everywhere else where you stream your music. I hope that you and yours are doing well during this time at the moment of social distancing. I know things are sort of opening back up, and I'm hoping that as we officially sort of open things back up, that we continue to be vigilant and careful and thoughtful of those around us, and of being mindful of this this virus that's going around. It's a challenge for us. It's a part of the challenge we're dealing with right now in this time. But I think ultimately, it's a down, and there'll be an up following it, and that's progress. So, thanks for joining me on Dancing Moon Songcast. Be well.